You know, the Lord is good. And he's faithful. And that's, and you know, the enemy is the enemy. I'm just going to share, you know, the enemy tried to bring fear on me about coming here and teaching for the next 6 weeks. And that's what he does. He brings fear to your heart if he can. But I hope, my hope for us here tonight and the next few weeks is that we get to understand what the ministry of reconciliation is about. Because it's in that ministry that you can stand with a confident assurance against the enemy at what, no matter what he throws your way. And so, like I said at the ladies' conference, the most difficult thing for me to do is to begin speaking, and the next most difficult is to stop speaking, because once I get started, I'm good. It's just getting started and stopping. So, I know a lot of people don't understand or even have an idea of what the ministry of reconciliation is about. I didn't, and the reason it's so strong in my heart is when I was in Bible college, that is what the Lord really ministered to my heart when I was at Bible college, on this ministry of the reconciliation. And so we're just going to jump right in. My scriptures I'm going to be using, if you want to go ahead and turn to it, and we'll start there in just a minute. It's going to be 2 Corinthians 5, from 14 to 21. This is a beautiful picture of what took place on the cross. I would highly recommend you study this. This is my favorite group of scriptures, I believe, in all the Word of God, because it speaks about everything and anything you need to know. And what I'm my hope to do in the next few weeks to come, what I want to talk about are certain subjects in relation to the ministry of reconciliation. And I have to really stay focused on my point of what I'm looking for, because we can go all over, because the Word of God is just so intricate and it weaves together so nicely. So I usually am a very open, let's discuss and have interaction, but I'm going to ask, if you will, if you have questions, just to hold your questions, and I'll really try to make sure I have time to do those. If we don't, keep your questions and come back and ask, or ask me afterwards somewhere along the way, okay? Because this is just, there's a lot, but what my heart is, I want to share, first of all tonight, what the ministry of reconciliation is. And in this next few weeks, we're going to be talking tonight. I'm going to talk about the love and grace, the presence and the name, the glory of God. I'm going to start in that direction tonight. And then we're going to talk about the call and the purpose. We're going to talk about the old man. Pride of life. And we're going to talk about the new man. Eternal life. So I may get up here. Y'all tell me which one we're in, okay? No. That will be, and we're going to be talking about that throughout this week. Now, some of this, it's not going to be 1 week this, 1 week that, 1 week that. It may just all come at once in that. Because it's just a lot in the ministry of reconciliation. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. I'm going to read it first, then I'm going to start talking about it a little bit, explain to you what the ministry of reconciliation is. It says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live hereafter live to them, should not hereafter live to themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, hereafter know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now hereafter know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, when you study the Word of God, you need to ask yourself or the Lord questions. When you're studying, ask. That's what a disciple does. The Holy Ghost is here to teach us all about Christ in us. And that's what this ministry of reconciliation is. So when I read these scriptures, I've read them, you know, over the years. See, we need understanding. If we don't have understanding, we can't walk correctly and present a true witness of who Christ is. So it's very important that you ask questions to the Lord, to the Holy Ghost. If you can't find it, find somebody that you know that walks the walk, talks the talk, and walks the walk, and you see godliness coming through them, so you know they have a relationship with God. Go ask somebody. If they don't know, hopefully they'll lead you to somebody else and always bring you back to the Holy Ghost. Always bring a person back to the Holy Ghost for an answer. And so this ministry, and today when I teach, I want y'all to understand this is personal. The Word of God is for you. You, individually, first. And then to take it out to others. So when I'm teaching and talking, I'm always talking about your heart and my heart. We must see our heart. Because God speaks to us through our heart. He looks at us through our heart. And so it's very important that you really take this personal. It's your personal love letter of who you are, who Christ is in you. This word is spirit. This word is the mirror of who you are. We don't come here to look to find out what we need to get. We come here to say, I already got it, as Andrew Womack says. I already got it. This is the substance reflection. When you come to the Bible, you're looking at a reflection of substance that's in you. You have to, if you get that, this will help you to understand the Word of God. This is what you already have. Now you're just learning how to draw it out. That's all you're doing. And the ministry of reconciliation, that's what this is all about. The word ministry means to serve, ministering, especially of those who execute the commands of others. Okay? Reconciliation, it means to exchange, to adjust of a difference, a restoration to favor. So the question is, looking in this scripture, when God was in Christ reconciling us to him, see, he's done his part. He's reconciled mankind back to him. And then he drops down and he says, I beseech you, you be reconciled to God. See, Bruce is teaching the war is over in his Sunday school classroom. God put down his anger towards men. There's peace between man and God from his side. Now he says for you and me to be reconciled back to him. We need to put down our hostility towards God. And trust me, we were extremely hostile to God before we're born again. We wanted nothing to do with God before we were born again. So man was very hostile towards God. So there's a lot of hostility in you, even after you get born again. You're full of hostile thoughts. There's a lot to be done. So the ministry of reconciliation is, he's committed to us. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a very personal ministry. That is about a personal relationship being committed to God. The word of reconciliation that he talks about down here in verse 19, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, but he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is for you, personal, very intimate, with you and God, nobody else but you and God. The word of reconciliation is once we get the reconciliation understanding, then we can go and tell everybody else about it. But see what's happened, we don't even know we need to be reconciled to God. So we've gone off with a lot of zeal and zero wisdom. And you see why the body of Christ looks so crippled and sick and out of joint and not in weak like the world, because we have been presenting a false witness of God. And so the world says, why do I need your God? I got my own God. And I got the same issues in my life as you've gotten yours. So what's your God for? See, so it's this will be a lifetime. This is a ministry of a lifetime, reconciling ourselves back to God. Because once you learn something about him, he's going to show you something else about him. He's going to show you something else about him. He's going to show you something else about him. It'd be a continual, continual, continual. So, the ministry of reconciliation is when you commit your life to an absolute surrender to God. A total abandonment to God. Totally. Absolute surrender. Go over to Revelation 12:9. Oh, I'm in Hebrews. Revelation 12:9. If there's issues in your life that you're experiencing and you're not overcoming, I'm going to show you probably the reason why. Not 12:9, excuse me, 9:12. I do that back. 12:11, excuse me, 12:11. We hear this all the time. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then it stops. Let me show you the last half of that. And they loved not their lives to death. That means that you did not surrender yourself, absolute surrender to the Lord. You have loved your life and have not died. You wanted it your way. And I can guarantee you, if you have issues in your life, and I'm not just saying you, I'm talking about me too. I can say, well, I got the blood of the Lamb, check it off. I got a word of testimony, check it off, but why am I still defeated? This one hurts. This one takes responsibility, and you and I have to do something in this portion. But Christ has done it for us. We just got to surrender to him and let him do it. So, and it's, what does it mean to live in absolute surrender? This is what absolute surrender is about. Absolute surrender is when you come and cast this self life and this flesh life at the feet of Jesus. Then you trust him. You come to him in the living faith, believing that Christ will come in you with the power of his death and the power of his life. And then that the Holy Spirit will bring the whole Christ. That's Christ crucified, Christ risen, and living in glory into your heart. If you'll read 2 Corinthians 5, you'll see every bit of what this surrendered life is telling you to be like. Once you come to Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read it again for you because this was a very powerful revelation when I saw this. Christ will bring the power of his death into our life. We don't have to try to die daily, as you hear. See, It has nothing to do with you and me. If you ever have a question about anything, the answer is Jesus. Just go find it. It's always going to be Jesus. Don't ever look at yourself. If you point to yourself in any avenue, any way, you're looking wrong. Yes, you're looking wrong. It's not about you and me. And we're going to walk this out and show you over the next few weeks. It's not about you and me. Christ and Christ alone. Christ and God made a covenant. And we got to come alongside it and be part of it. I'll be honest, you want to know something? Jesus really wasn't even concerned. I mean, he was concerned, don't get me wrong. But he wasn't looking at you and me as a finished product. We were part of it, but he was looking to the Father, to obedience to the Father. That's all he cared about, obedience to the Father. The circumstances that he looked at did not drive him to do the obedience to the Father, to believe the Father's word. We make it about us. He came to save us from sin. That's true, but he had to do something to do that. He had to be obedient to the Father. That was where he found his joy. His strength came from being obedient to the Father. That's where our strength will be coming from, when we become obedient to the Father, which is following Christ. Okay. So, the absolute surrender. And this is the basis of this ministry of reconciliation. This is the foundational truth of the ministry of reconciliation, is absolute surrender, complete abandonment of self. Because if you understand that when Christ died and you died with him, you're gone. Your old self life, you're dead. And that's what we're reconciling ourselves to. But we don't have to try to make it happen. We just look to see what Christ has already done for me. And I enter in by grace into the finished works. So when you are, and you can see when you're in absolute surrender, you'll see the evidence of it. There's evidence of a surrendered life to Christ. You'll see it in people. You'll begin to see it in yourself. There's areas where they're going to be locked down, in areas where it's a process of ongoing process of living with God, in relationship with God. We won't get it fulfilled on this side of heaven, I don't believe, because we're still got in this fleshly earth suit that causes us and hinders us, and the enemy uses it against us, and we have to push in sometimes harder than other times. But I think we can get there pretty darn close if we'll just start understanding who Christ is in us and who we are in him. I think we can get pretty darn close. Jesus said we can do what he did. I would like to walk that now instead of before I go to heaven, to be honest with you. Okay, here is the results of the absolute surrender. An absolute surrender will be an expression of the divine nature, God-likeness or godliness, not good doing. Not good doing. It's a new and living way. It's divine characteristics in your life, not good human characteristics. It's God's life in you expressing itself as God life, which is the eternal life. It's not human life trying to be godly. That's the pride of life. That's where we come from. We've come from that, humans trying to be like God, independent of God. That's the old man. And in the absolute surrender life, the supernatural is made natural in you by the grace of God. And the experience of the absolute surrender life works out in the practical details of life, not in the times of communion with God. The times with communion with God is to be close to God and hear his voice as he speaks to you and you speak to him and you get a revelation and understanding. But when you get revelation, now we're supposed to go walk it out in our daily living. There's your testing ground. In your daily living, look around you and see what's happening in your life, your heart, not your friends, not your spouse, but your own heart. How are you relating with others at this level? You'll know if you're totally surrendered here, it'll work out through here. You'll see it. People will see it in you. They'll know. Okay, so how do we do this? I mean, how do we enter in? We're going to go find Jesus, see? Always find Jesus. Always look for Jesus because he'll always bring you the answer. So what I want to do is do a comparison of the first Adam and the last Adam. How do we absolutely surrender? And what do we have to do to absolutely surrender to God? Let's go to Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Genesis 3 is God with Adam. He's talked to this is when the serpent came to Eve and Adam in the garden. They were one. They were just Adam. They weren't Adam and Eve. They were one. They were Adam. Okay? And God had told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? I'm just going to paraphrase. So he had given Adam a command not to do something. And he said, if you eat of that, you'll surely die if when you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he gave Adam a command. Adam heard his voice. Okay? But when the serpent came along and said to Eve, the female side of Adam, he came to the flesh. I'm going to show you something. God showed me something several years ago when I was studying something about the garden and Adam and Eve. And he says, you see Adam as the spiritual side of me, and you see Eve as the flesh side of me. And the enemy came to the flesh in the very beginning. Where does he come in us? To the flesh. So when your flesh speaks to you, you better know it's not God. It's real easy. The signs are real simple for us if we'll just study them out. So he came to the flesh. Well, the flesh ate, gave to the husband, and then when God came in and asked Adam, where are you? You know, they hid from the presence of God. But when God came down and came and gave them the punishment, he says to Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife. See, there's where his sin was. His sin wasn't really eating off the tree. It was a result that happened. The result of sin happened because he did not obey the will of God. When God speaks, that's his will. That's his voice. When he speaks to you and me, that's his voice, his will. This is when you absolute surrender, you got to give up your will. Your mind, your will, your emotions. But the most difficult thing for you and me to give up to anybody is our will. So let's go to Christ and see what he did. Go to Isaiah 53. And we're going to go to verse 10. This is a picture of the cross again in the Old Testament, a prophetic voice of Isaiah talking about the cross and what Christ was going to do. And he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Christ. He had put him to grief when he has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And this is the Lord speaking. He shall see the prevail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous service justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When I studied this out the other week, I sat there and I said, Lord, I need to see what you went through. Now, if you ask the Holy Spirit, he will show you lots of spiritual things. You know, Pastor Robert spoke about the living by in the Spirit, by the Spirit. It's not woo-hoo, woo-woo. We can go anywhere in the Spirit that God chooses to take us. There is so much for us we can't even see yet because we don't understand how to be reconciled to God and be totally abandoned. We just see a little tip of it. There is so much more. So if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to show you things, he will. He wants you to see. He wants us to see what's going on in the spirit realm because that's where our battle is, in the spirit realm, not in this natural realm. So the more we abandon ourselves to God because we're becoming spiritual, we can actually separate, and I'm not saying woo-woo out of the body. You can separate spirit from soul and physical body and walk by the Spirit only. That's how you're supposed to be walking. And you can see it, and you can sense it, and you know it's the Spirit, your Spirit in you. And so I asked him, show me what you mean by this. This used to trump me on this thing. Why did we have to see the travail of his soul? I didn't get that. I couldn't understand that for a long time. But if you understand what your soul is, your mind, will, and emotions. Christ came and did the exact thing that Adam did. Adam came into this world. He ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Only he had a command that said, don't eat from that tree. Christ came into this world and the Lord says, I need you to eat off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's your command. That is what I am sent you to do. You're going to eat off that tree. And Christ says in Psalms 43, why did he come? He came to prepare a body for a sacrifice, not bulls and goats and burnt offerings. Well, I've come to do your will, Father. You want to get joy in your life? Begin to do the will of God. You want strength in your life? Do the will of God. So Jesus came to the cross. And I thought about it. I said, man, do you know what he did for you and me? He wasn't looking at the end result, really, of us being delivered. I mean, that was part of it. But his focus was on, oh, Father, I come to do your will, and your will says I've got to eat off that tree. Now, I have never walked in sin. I have never been out of your presence. I have never, ever hated you. I have never ever wanted anything not to do with you. I have never gone my own way. Now, he had a hard decision because he could have said no. He had free will. We have free will. That's what we've been given. God will not take that away. He cannot take that away because free will is what you and I decide to operate in, to believe God in, our will. And he will not force us to believe. He can't force us to believe him. We make a choice to believe and to give up our will to God. Jesus had to give up his will, the perfect life, and take on yours and my muck. Now, he went from riches to poverty. You and me are going from poverty to riches, and we struggle giving it up. Isn't that wacky? Isn't that crazy? That's how strong pride in man is. And we're going to talk about pride in another week because it's extremely dangerous. It's having your own way, walking in your own way. And God never designed us for that. So when Christ said, yes, Lord, I give you my will, that was the greatest act of love Not necessarily the death on the cross, and that was a huge act of love, but giving over his will to the Father. Why? Because he knew the love of the Father. He knew the Father said, this is what you have to do, but know that I will do this. Because see, he's read about himself in the Old Testament. He read about on the third day there's a resurrection. He knew he had to grow as a child in wisdom and in stature. He had to hear the word of God through the scriptures that he had and through the voice of God, I'm assuming, in there. Just like you and me. He's no different than you and me. So when he came to that cross, he gave his will to the Father, trusting him, believing him. And the Lord showed me what he was doing. This is what he showed me, the picture of Jesus that day. It was just darkness. It was that dark cloud over him. And he was being crushed. And he was going, he wasn't looking at, woo, look at the joy, I'm fixing to deliver them, I'm fixing to take sin away. Because man, this was tough for him. He had to become us so he could do this. He was pressing and crushing. He goes, trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God. That's all he was saying. That's all he wants you and me to do. Trust God. Don't look at the circumstance. That's not your problem. Circumstances aren't our problem. Trusting God's our problem. You see, Jesus believed God. There's what the Word of God says. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not keep them because I'm showing you love me. If you truly love me, you'll keep my commandments. What's my commandment? My voice speaking to you, my will. It's an easy measurement in your own life. Oh yeah, I love God. Well, are you keeping his commandments? Have you surrendered your will to him? No, well then you're not loving God. It's that simple. We're getting down to the simple nitty-gritties of this life. It's real simple. We make it difficult. Because when you trust God and you give it to him, your will to him, you know on the other side is always good because that's all he has for you and me. We just got to learn who he is in us. That's what he told us. If you're tired and heavy laden and weary, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you learn of me, you'll get rest in your soul. The side of us that wars with the flesh, where we're warring in our soul, the flesh is always warring against our mind, will, and emotions. The flesh is always wanting to pull you back into the pride of life, the will of Satan. The will of the old man. Where was I going with that? Trust God. He'll bring me out. Trust God. If you don't get anything else out of this whole few weeks we get, trust God. That's all you need. Get that in your heart. Surrender to him and trust him and you'll walk a life that you never, ever knew was available. It's exciting life. It's an exciting life. But so here's two things in the ministry of reconciliation, in our personal relationship. We must know without a doubt the love of God and his grace. It's the love of God that compels us or constrains us, it says in 2 Corinthians. It's his love that causes us to want to go and do these things, he says. Give me your will. Yes, Lord, I'll give you my will because I love you and I trust you with my whole life. And then his grace. You have to see the grace of God. If you don't see the grace of God, you honestly can't walk this walk. In the fullness. We really can't. Because it's by his grace. Through our faith. See what made God pleased. In verse 10. When it says it pleased him to bruise him. The faith of Jesus. What pleases God? Faith pleases God. He was pleased with the faith Christ said. Yes, Daddy. I give you my will. because I trust you. I believe you're going to raise me up. I believe when you do, sin's taken care of. I've delivered them. My joy. In Hebrews, he says, for the joy set before him. It wasn't you and me. We were part of it. The joy was doing the will of the Father, because that's what he said, I've come to do, is the will of the Father. You and me, when we do the will of the Father, there's great joy that stirs up inside of you and me. You've experienced it somewhere in your life. I know you have. You got born again. That was great joy. Whoo, you gave your will over for a moment. You know what I mean? And then we took it back. And we kept it. And we're still keeping it. We won't let him have it. And it's a process. And it's okay. It's a lifetime. It's a fun time with the Lord. All right, let's go look at some grace here. I want to show you somebody. Let's go to Moses. Let's go to Moses. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 33. You know, Moses wrote in Numbers, he says, he's wrote of himself, that he was the most humble, the humblest man, meekest man on the earth. And we go, how in the world? Now that's pretty prideful. But it's not. When you see what he did, you'll understand why God inspired him to say, son, you're the humblest man on this earth. We're gonna go there. Moses, I'm just going to kick right in. I'm not here to teach. There's lots of things I could get sidetracked on, so I'm trying to stay focused on this. This is when Moses, in this where I'm talking, Moses had gone up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. First off, the Lord had spoken to them prior to that, to the children of Israel, and said to them in the mountain. He came and spoke to the whole congregation of people, and because of the fear, they said, whoa, we don't want to hear your voice. Moses, you talk to him, and then you come and tell us what he said. Now, we still do that today. Now, this is where we go wrong, because I'm going to tell you, we got to grow up. You eventually got to get out, and I know desire. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. We're not newborn babes. Well, most of us in the church still are. And they're still sucking on the milk. You got to get off the milk one day, which means you got to get your own revelation. So this is like Moses. Someone comes to someone that studies, and I'm going to use myself. I study a lot. I love the Lord. I want to know him. I want to know what I've got. And people come to Arlene, what do you think? And I go, well, what does the word say? See, some people like people coming and nursing off of them. I'll wean you in a heartbeat. I'll take you for a little while, but I'm going to wean you eventually because I don't want you on me. You know what I mean? You got to grow up. I'll help you grow up. I'll send you to the right direction, but you got to become a milk giver. See, you got to give milk. You can't be a baby all your life, because if you are, you're going to get stomped on by the enemy. He will kick you around the rest of your life, and you'll have a false witness of Christ to the world. You got to grow up. You got to get meat for yourself. And that's revelation knowledge of the Lord and things of the Lord and who you are. And you do that by chewing on the wood, the word. A cow gets milk by eating grass, and it produces milk for somebody else. And we're supposed to be getting a little from somebody, getting it, but going to the Holy Ghost and getting more and getting more, and then we get more, and then he brings it back to us. Revelation, oh, let me go eat. Now, I can give milk to somebody. But I'm going to tell you, grow up. You can't come nursing off me all the time, because you're draining me. And there's people out there that want to get some strong meat in their body. They want to grow up. Because you got to grow up. We're supposed to grow up into the mature stature of Christ. And that is means a person of pure love. Pure love. Edifying the body in love. So Moses, they didn't want to hear the Lord. See, that was their first mistake. I don't want to hear you. And his first command to them, hear, O Israel. The word here in the Hebrew, the word picture of that, is a root word of that, is the root word of that is hear, obey, understand. The root picture is name. So when you hear, a Jew heard, hear, Israel. Pooh, name. What do I hear? What name am I hearing? What am I looking for? Hear, the name. Obey, it means see the name. See the name. Obey, hear, and understand. See the name. You and I need to begin to see the name of Jesus. We need to see the name. Hear, see the name. So that's what, when he gave the instructions hearing, he still gives that instruction today, hear. Hear implies you're going to obey, meaning you're going to give up your will, which says, I love you, God. It's real simple. Have I loved you today, God? No. But Lord, you know me, and I know I shouldn't, and I thank you that you have still never going to remove your love from me, and I'll continue to walk in your love and your grace because you love me so much. But I thank you that you're going to correct me, and I'll receive it, and I'm going to move on forward with you. Teach me again, Daddy. Give me another opportunity. He will. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. Anyway, Moses is there, right? He's up there talking to the Lord. He comes back down. He had the children of Israel had spoken out in the mountain, we will do whatever you tell us to do. Before God had actually, well, he had spoken what he wanted them to do, and they were in pride. They didn't know it. We'll do it. We'll do it. And you know what he said? Oh, if only, he said, what they said is a good thing. But if only there was a heart in them to do it. There was not a heart in man to do good. They had just be shown that through what God was fixing to take them through, right? So he told Moses, oh, I've heard everything they said, and it's a good thing, but here's my standard. So he sends it down. They were partying, had already made a calf, a god, right? So it got broken. Moses had to go back. Moses went back up, and let's go here as we're at, in 33. In 33:12, and Moses said to the Lord, man, we're looking for grace. See, you say to me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said to me, Moses, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, this is Moses, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people. Did you hear Moses? He says, Lord, I know you're greater than me, but you say, I have found grace in your sight. I need to know who you are so I can find that same grace in your sight. About me. It's not about me, Lord. I'm not good. I'm not the one that I know when I was a baby and I was set out forth to be the deliverer of Israel. I'm all this. Why? What is it? What is it? Why did I find favor in you, Father? What is it, God? What is it? No, he says, God, I don't know you, but you say you know me, but I got to know who you are because if I'm to take these people, I need to know who's going with me. So he says, show me your way. And see, in the Hebrew back, if you understand, in the Hebrew language, when you ask about the way, they're talking about your character. What's your name? What's the character of you that I can go with you and I can trust you? See, we gotta know some things about God. It helps us to trust him when we know a few things about him. So he says, now I pray you, if I have found sight, grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may find, okay, I read that. And he says, the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. So he says, in the next chapter, he says, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And so the Lord says to, in verse 17, the Lord says to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. See, he was important. He's saying to Moses, I know you by name. Now I'm going to let you know me, who I am by name. I'm fixing to show you. So he says, I beseech you, Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he told him, he said, but you can't see my face. I will set you on a rock, and then when I pass by, I'll put my hand over you and cover you. You can only see my back part. And so Moses, the Lord hewed him two the stones, he said, let's see, fine, you know, I want to read that. I want to come over here to verse 5, when he was going to come down to the mountain and give Moses the tablets of the tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and said, the Lord God. And this is the character, the true nature of God. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he's abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities, transgressions, and sin, and will by no means clear. And the writers wrote in, clear the guilty. I don't, my own thing, I don't believe it's what that really means. I believe he's saying, I will never remove that character from you or anybody else. Because in Deuteronomy, Moses rehearsed the same conversation. And he turned around to God right after this when he was going to destroy the people. And he said to God, but you told me you're merciful, you're gracious, you're long-suffering, and you won't clear this. Don't destroy these people. See, he knew the grace of God. That's why you and me need to know the grace of God. We need to know and understand what grace is. We stand in grace. That's Christ Jesus in us. So when you know the name, when you hear the name, the Lord God, Lord Jesus, your mind should to some degree begin merciful, gracious, long-suffering, good in, I mean, abundant in goodness, abundant in truth, keeping mercy, forgiving iniquities, transgressions, and sin. So that God-like character, that God life will flow from you when you come up to a person. You're merciful, you're gracious, you're long-suffering, you're being led by the Holy Ghost on how these things will come out. Because it's not you, it's Him. But that's what we are supposed to look like. That's God life. That's not good works. That's godliness. Surrendered absolutely, and we walk in the same thing. Now, Moses, I don't believe had the full, I know he didn't have the full understanding of the presence of God. Because Moses, he says, you can't see my face, because if you do, no man can live. See, he was not born again. There was more of God, and his name is Jesus, that could be seen after Jesus came. Because he talks about the glory fading, the latter glory, the former, and I get those words mixed up, latter and former, they, in my mind they go backwards, but the latter house, quote it, and in that place I'll put my peace. The latter glory is the glory of Christ. That peace will be set in this house. The glory of Moses was fading. It's like the moon and the sun. When the two come together, the moon's got a glory and the sun's got a greater glory. And it comes together and the moon's going to fade because the glory of the sun is just going to absorb it. It's not really abandoned anywhere. It's been absorbed into something greater that's there. You see that? Yeah. And Christ had not come yet, so Moses couldn't see him, and I think he honored Moses at the transfiguration. Here's the full glory, baby. Check me out. Yeah, check me out, because now you, because see, Moses already gone and departed, and Christ was coming. And so you and me have the full glory in this house. So we need to understand what that is, the presence of God in you. And that's where we lost it in Adam, when he hid from the presence of God. That word hid is a withdrawal. And the root word of that word is to put out the fire or to love fervently love. I don't understand. That's the root word. I'm just breaking it down what I saw. I understand what it means. Adam chose to turn. He repented the wrong direction. That's turning. He turned from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of darkness and left the love of God, which is his presence. And Christ, when he did the will of God, turned back to the love of God and brought the presence back to man. And that's where you and I in the ministry of reconciliation should be heading, to be in that full presence. And if you notice what happened when Moses saw the glory of God after he showed himself here, Moses fell on his knees and worshiped. Now see, he didn't fall on his knees the first time he stepped into the glory, because he did step into the glory of God the first time to get the first tablets. But he didn't see the glory to really know who that is. Therefore, there was no worship on his part. But let me tell you, worship happens when you and me see the presence and the glory of God. True worship will begin in your heart. It's not this, praise you, Lord. That's praising God. That is a form of worship. But the true worship God is looking for is in spirit and in truth. And until you understand who you are in the spirit and the truth of those things, true worship will never really come to you in the fullness. Don't get me wrong. It's there in the fullness. We're working that direction. We're going. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're looking for. You want to worship God like he said to worship me. Because that's the full love of God in his presence. And that's what you and I are supposed to be, just a vessel full of love, just really getting fat in love to pour out on people. So Moses, let me see if that was, I think that's where I wanted to stop on that. And it's about time anyway, so that's working out really well. Yeah. So just understand this tonight. That's what I'm hoping you understand. Go home. Sit with the Lord. Ask him to show you something of who he is, Jesus. He wants to reveal himself. Show me how this ministry of reconciliation works for me, Lord. Because then we're all unique to him. How he does it through Marcia and to Marcia is going to be a little different than how he does it for me, because I'm different. I'm special. She's special to him. You're special to him. You can't come. I can tell you how it happened to me, but you can't walk in it. You got to get your own. But go home and just study these scriptures a little bit. Look at what it means. Ask the Holy Ghost, what does it truly mean to be absolute surrendered to you? I love this part when he says, "It's know this, believe this." See, believing is actually being loved. Be is a state of being. Leaf, belief, L-I-E-F, is loved. So you're being loved as you believe, and you're loving as you believe. I know it. Believe we. It, that's just get down to the. I like to take you to the foundation of it, because there's a lot of junk on top of it. But let's get to the foundation to build correctly where we're going. Be loved. Oh, what manner of love that he's given us to be called sons of God. But if we'll surrender. Next week, I want to go into idols a little bit to help, and the name of Jesus, because see, he told Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they only knew me as God Almighty. I'm coming to you, Moses, as Jehovah. There's something a little different you need to know about me as Jehovah. And that's the name he's given to you and me, Jehovah, Lord, Savior, Jesus. So there's more of his presence. Once we get Jesus, because that's the fullness of eternal life, the fullness of God. Oh, I was going somewhere, but I guess I'm not, because he took that, but I won't go there. Anyway, it's time to quit anyway. So if anybody has any questions, I'll try to answer them. I'm not going to tell you. No! Okay. Let me have a drink of water.
I must know God's love and his grace, right? We that's the ministry of reconciliation. And this is something I've been rolling around in my heart. Okay, so if I know the love, then I'll recognize when I don't know the love, right? When I know, mm-hmm. when it's not, because if I want to see things, as I was thinking about what you said about Adam, and about Moses, how he wanted to see God things from God's perspective, and that would help him that if he were able to see things from God's perspective, and he asked for that, but he had to at least. I'm trying to figure out how we could you can put it into words to say, okay, I must somehow in our heart know when I'm not. See, being loved, or when I know that I'm not, because I think.
Let me ask you this: if you give your will to the Lord, are you going to know you're walking in love because you're in His will? Will you know that?
I think we do, but it's a continual thing.
Sure. So when you're not there, do you think you're going to know that? Will that be obvious that you're not walking in the will of God?
If I know I'm walking in the will of the Lord, will I know when I'm not walking in the mm-hmm. Yes. But I think it's a, let me give you an example. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Me and Bruce were sitting at the breakfast table and we were having a conversation. And I was just really aggravated and frustrated, not at a situation. And I looked at Bruce and I said, well, this is an enormous principality. And I was frustrated. I wasn't frustrated at Bruce, but I was frustrated at the situation because of, and he looked at me and he said, is this principality bigger than God? And in that moment, I knew that I had a different perspective, but I had to recognize it. And mm-hmm. I've just kind of tried to work that out in my heart, you know, continually.
Well, let me ask you this. If the characteristics of God are mercy, grace, long-suffering, goodness, truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, with what you were battling with, verse by the answer, is that principality greater than God? What's the truth?
Right.
There's love. There you walk. You know when you walk in the truth and you know it. No, I the will. The no, that's not. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Love is not a feeling.
Right.
Y'all understand that? Love's not a feeling. Love is God.
And
so when we walk like God, in not like Him, but with a God life, that's why when we reconcile to Him and we absolute surrender to Him, you'll begin to know who He is, which allows you to know who you are without even having to guess it, except because you'll know. That's not a truth. See, He quickened to you with wisdom. Is that truth? No. It's not something we think out. It's what we live out and walk out every day. We begin. Now, we're going to learn. You're going to do that. But you have someone that come alongside you. That's why it's important to come together. So we can show each other what God life looks like, and it doesn't. A lot of it doesn't in the body of Christ. Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? And go back and ask the Holy Ghost to show you more. Seriously, I'm serious. You know, it sounds like an easy out, but it's not. It's the best answer I can ever give you. I don't know the answer, but the Holy Ghost does. That's why He's here. And if you'll take the time, that's our problem. We won't commit, and I'm not saying you. Most people don't want to commit the time it takes. Let me tell you, to reconcile yourself back to the Lord, it better be a priority in your life. The Lord God should be the most important entity, person, anything in your life. Yes, ma'am. She's going to respond to something for you.
When I, early in my walk of searching, I hadn't found. But early in my walk, I was in a meeting, and I asked some of the counselors there, how do you know when you're really saved? And they couldn't answer my question, yet they were there spreading the word and already in the ministry. So the question has been answered. When you do know that you've been saved, you know that you know that you know, and you won't ever forget it. So your salvation experience, that when you begin, you know you're saved. But what was left out for me at that point, nobody said, well, you need to continually search the word, relationship with God, and you will know what you know and what you need to know. So it's that you knew that was a principality in a way, and that it was a stumbling block. But once he said that statement to you, you knew that you knew that you knew that God's bigger.
Mm-hmm. See, I think what's important when I this definition, this understanding of this absolute surrender is, we got to trust that Christ is bringing the power of his death and the power of his life to us at the moment we need it, in a situation like that. But now we can't trust that if we haven't spent a lot of time with him. This is not just a jump in. A friend of mine put it this way. God is not a rapist. He won't force you to do things and have relationship with him. But he's not a God of quickies either. He wants a long lifetime of romance and love. But we want him as a quickie fix. That, well, can I have a little tonight? I just need a little fix of something you can help me out with. Uh-huh. That's not the kind of love affair he has going on. If that's the kind of love affair you have, there's good news. You can really enter into a wonderful romantic relationship with him. And that's how we should be living with him.
Amen.
Anything else?
Just wanted to ask you a question. You said about belief, that it's be, and then the word leaf, and how that means love. Where is that from, the word leaf meaning love? I might have missed what you had said there.
I don't have it on me, my notes for that. It just came into my head. In the dictionary, just look up belief. L-I-E-F is a word, leaf, love. That's a word. And they're combined together. It's just be loved. It's a be, you know, believing that you're loved and be loved. Just be loved. Leaf. And you know, believing is the nourishment of the word. Believing is what makes the word inside you grow. It's the fertilizer that makes the word of God grow in you. It activates the word, causing it to grow. When we believe, it activates it and makes it come alive and do what it's supposed to do. When you and I truly believe with our heart. It can get confusing, you know, it can get complicated, but we're not supposed to be. It's like a child. Just have the faith and belief of a child. Daddy said it, I spoke it, hear me. It's real simple. Hear my voice. His name is Jesus. He's the Word. Hear him in your spirit, through the Holy Ghost, and you and I will never, ever go wrong.
I think one thing you had said, and you were drawing everybody back to, that I think is very key, go to the Lord and ask him questions. Mm-hmm. The Lord one time told me, you know what the number one hindrance is to hearing my voice? He said, it's when I don't hear your voice. When he hears our voice, the more we communicate with him, definitely with the humility of asking questions, the more you're positioning yourself to hear his voice.
That's right.
And the response. It's undisputed that the time we hear God the most is when we just get quiet and say, Lord, what do you say about this? And then we just be still.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that comes up?
Yeah.
And that's where I believe this ministry of reconciliation.
When I talk about idols, we're going to cover some of that. It's really interesting to understand what idols are. I mean, what an idol is and how it works. Because it brings, it's like, wow, for those to have ears to hear and eyes to see, you'll get a whole different picture of why God spoke that. It opened your heart, eyes, and ears. It is amazing. So, yeah. Any more questions? Anybody? Anything? Well, I just want to thank y'all. I appreciate y'all coming out in this weather and the storm and giving me this opportunity. And I told Trey, Pastor Trey, I said, I am in OJT. I'm in the OJT with the Holy Ghost. He's teaching me. I'm asking him to show me and teach me how to live by my spirit and only my spirit, and for you to draw things out of my spirit and let me hear you so clearly. I know it's you in the spirit through me.
You have to tell him what OJT is.
Huh? On the job training, right?
Oh, on the job training.
I had to think about that. When you were telling me about that, I was like, OJT. I was like, is that some kind of orange juice?
On the job training.
On the job training.
I'm from the military background. I'm sorry, okay? It's called on the job training. Because he really can't. He wants to do that for you. I mean, that's what his job is, the Holy Ghost. It makes my job and our job and your job, if you go out and tell the truth, just to let him do it. Just hear him. I'm going to talk about that word here a little bit, too. It's a strong, powerful word. It means a lot.